Good evening.
That's a cheerio way to start a show, isn't
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the trough of despair that is this week's Naked Football Show. In the studio of doom tonight, we welcome a grim Jerry Barker.
Hello.
We welcome the germ-ridden vulture.
I have a virus, not a cold, because it's a football show.
And, of course, we welcome back everybody's favourite portent of hopelessness, Mr. Phil Hamm. OK, so I think I'm pretty much sure that this week's topics will pick themselves. So with this in mind, email us on studio@icrfm.co.uk or drop us a text on that easy-to-remember number 07797800712. Who would like to start after that grim...
None of
display,
us, I reckon.
No.
Yeah, thank you ever so much tonight, and till next week, have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye, take care. Who wants to go? Jerry, go on, you're
right. Shall I go? What are we talking about? Football?
Do we have to?
Yeah, I think so. Are we going Wednesday's game first and then Saturday?
Yeah, go on, that's a good plan. Start with Wednesday. A bit of cheerfulness.
Wednesday's game, yes. I thought we started off pretty poorly. Then, obviously, went one goal down. Richard Wright made a really, really good save to keep it at 1-0. And I thought that was a turning point of the game, that save, actually. And then we went off and obviously scored two quick goals and away we were. But Bristol started off quite good, but I didn't think they were that...
No. Well, actually, we started reasonably well, didn't we? Because I seem to remember we had the ball cleared off the line, and then they almost immediately went up the other end and scored. Then we wobbled for a bit, as we tend to when we concede a goal. And then we really... I mean, I was talking to my mate last night, and he was saying Darren Ambrose could have had about six goals in sort of the last 15 minutes of the first half, but only Basso stopped him. It was one of those games that we were quite... As long as teams let us play football like Bristol City did, we're okay. It's when you get to matches like Saturday, when it becomes problematic. It's when teams close us down and don't give us a moment on the ball. We don't seem to have any answer at all, do we?
No. Well, I was actually on SGRFM. Sorry to swear live on air. SGRFM actually phoned me up after the game on Saturday. And I think for the last couple of games, Richard Wright has been our best player. And I actually said that if it wasn't for him on Saturday, we'd have been beaten like a ginger stepchild.
A nice turn of phrase, that, really.
I don't think... I
apologies
sure
to
got.
All our ginger stepchildren listeners.
Yeah, so... The Wednesday game was a bit strange, as like you say. We played well for 15 minutes, got three goals, and that was it. Game over. And I think the major talking point was... Alex Bruce's chin-high tackle didn't look much in it to me. No, there looked quite a bit in it, actually. It's one of those tackles that looked worse than it was. I think the club perhaps wasted a bit of, you know, administrative effort on appealing it, because in the current climate carrying on from last year, it was always going to lose it, wasn't he?
I think this, you know, the point of it is, it was a high tackle. And although everyone says, it's two-footed, the rule or the way that the law is interpreted is that it's 1 or 2 feet that are kind of studs high. And if you look at the picture, there's actually a picture in the FA handbook of what a bad tackle looks like. And you know, that was pretty much it. You know, I mean, if Liam Trotter wasn't going to get off his red card, then Alex Bruce had absolutely no chance.
Yeah, lucky not to get it.
I was surprised they didn't get it extended, to be honest.
Do you think they were hoping that he was going to be able to go for Saturday, that the FA weren't going to hear it on the
Friday. It may have been something in that, mightn't there? But there you go. It's not as if Alex Bruce has been kind of a regular in the side until about 2 weeks beforehand. So, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? I think Alex Bruce probably had two or three of his best games for Town, because I've never really been a massive fan. At Norwich, I think he was probably about the only player to come out with any credit at all, even though I suspect he was probably at fault on one and possibly at fault on the other one as well, of the goals. Defensively, Saturday was the worst of the season, I think.
Defended like the Italian infantry. Apologies to any Italian infantrymen listening, but we were pretty poor, weren't we?
We were. Yeah. I mean, actually, the first goal I thought was unique in that I think every single one of the Town defenders made some sort of error, in that Naylor and Volz got into a bit of a mess to start with, because Volz should have been the one clearing it. Naylor headed it inadvertently out to whoever the left-sided player was. And then Thatcher should have dealt with the ball at the far post before it reached Routledge. And then McCauley should have done something rather than hit it with his shin straight to Bothroyd.
Yeah, it was not it? Yeah.
I think everyone, it was quite, I was hoping they'd all got their mistake out of the way on that one goal. But
I haven't seen anything like that since the Chuckle Brothers, I tell you. It was comical, wasn't it?
It was very, very poor indeed. And it didn't really get any better from there. The communication, I thought, was the worst thing. There was a bit in the second half where Naylor or somebody left Bothroyd, I think, to let the ball run into the path of Bothroyd, because presumably he hadn't had a call from someone behind him to say that he was there. But it was just absolutely all over the place. Mm-hmm. And really, I thought Saturday was as the worst performance of the season, even worse than Norwich.
Yes.
Ooh, really? That's a bold statement.
Well, Doncaster as well was pretty good.
Doncaster was poor, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it was. It's disappointing because we didn't look really like scoring at all, did we?
No.
Against Cardiff.
We don't look like scoring. I mean, we said all these things last week, that we've been saying the same things about the team for the best part of 2 years, that we lack a kind of fox-in-the-box striker, we concede at set pieces. I think that's something. Well, to some extent, we've addressed that. We're just completely all over the place on a Saturday. I think Naylor had a terrible game, I thought, that McCauley did probably was the best of the lot, but with that fantastic clearance off the line.
Yeah, yeah.
But the defence played themselves played themselves into trouble a lot of the time because the midfield was so poor. We were losing the midfield battle so comprehensively that it ended up with the back four just playing the ball backwards and forwards between them before someone hoiked it forward because they had no options in midfield, or lost it, as happened on various occasions. I think the incident that saw Ben Thatcher sent off was because the defence had kind of got themselves in a bit of a mess, and also the incident where Chopra had the one cleared off the line by McCauley. By the way, did you notice there was a dent in the post after McCauley?
Was
there?
Into,
yeah. I never knew.
It was a hell of a clearance.
Great clearance,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
really,
it made up
really
for
good.
The goal, didn't it?
Yeah.
And I felt that when he hit the post.
Yeah, I think everyone did. It was one of those moments when everyone in the north went, ooh.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, when he slid in and sort of one leg either side of the post? Oh.
Yeah, squirreled himself, didn't he?
I can still feel that now.
But going further than Saturday's game, I thought Jim all day, things he said in the paper about not making a bad signing hasn't helped things either.
No, well, I don't think Jim helps himself with a lot of things he says, really. At the moment I look at things and think, well, the performance on Saturday and the performance against Norwich, they're worse than we were at the beginning of the season. You can't look at the performances as a kind of August to December and think we've actually improved. I think we've actually gone backwards, if anything.
We do appear to have gone backwards. I'd have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, that is the real disappointing thing. You can't see a way forward, can you, with this current crop of players, probably. I don't know what it is.
I mean, if you look at the players, you think, well, he's a decent enough championship player. He's a decent enough championship player. And it oughtn't to be beyond the wit of a manager to assemble a team out of the squad as it is at the moment. Yeah, I mean, we know that there's kind of weaknesses. There's not a real goal scorer. Left side, I think, is still kind of... I don't think Ambrose has done particularly well.
No.
I think we need a proper
left-footed...
Yeah, player. Winger.
Winger, whatever.
Gary Roberts.
We want Gary Roberts, but also someone else to do his defending for him. You have to look at it and think, well, Jim spent, people always thought it's like 12 million, but I mean, from what I gather, it's more than 12 million if you look at what the wages are and the wages committed across the contracts of the players now. And really, you look at it and think, well, someone has got to be able to do a better job than that, quite frankly.
Has any manager either had that sort of money to spend previous to him? I know George Burley spent a decent bit of money, but it was what I call earned money, in as much as now we've had somebody come along and give us that money.
Mm. Mm. Well, Burley spent 15 million in the summer before we went down, didn't he?
But when you think, as you say, 12 plus million, it's one hell of a lot of money. And we don't appear to be going anywhere.
It's
No.
It seems to me that as soon as we give managers money,
it all goes wrong.
It all goes wrong. There's got to be a lesson there somewhere, isn't there? Don't give the manager any money.
I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, I don't think the... I mean, like, yeah, Jim's comment about saying we haven't signed any bad players is ridiculous. I mean, yeah, Martin Britton, for example, what did he play? Half? Do you remember him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking of the kind of...
Vermond Brekaskard is another one.
Yeah, we have Joe signed him, so yeah. You can't blame Jim for that.
Oh, right, OK. I apologise.
I'm just trying to think of anyone else he signed that's just made no appearances or whatever. But
even Campo.
Well, Campo, Campo doesn't look like the most inspired signing in the world at the moment, does it?
But he's got a massive effect in the football club. So Jim says. So
we're all told.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of this kind of, players are having a massive effect.
If you want a massive effect on a football club, hire a jester. I'm sure it'll be cheaper, you know.
Yeah. There you go. What? Anything on the wires?
Right. Actually, I'll do the wires before we do the ones that are coming through the week. Bill Gates, missing laptops. Was Jim halfway through playing Football Manager on there?
Boy Clue, or Sanders' little helper, as I like to call it.
Babs and Lee, last Saturday's ref was one of the worst I've seen in a long while. Anyone agree?
Yeah,
of course he was. He was a referee.
He was pretty awful, though.
He wasn't very good. It was the kind of determination not to allow play to continue at any
time. He was one of the kind of guys who seemed to struggle, who would have struggled with the rules of the game of snap, let alone association football at times.
He's over fussy as well, so even, he's not
stop
letting
the game
anything
every second. Every 5 seconds, he seemed to be blowing his whistle. Stop the game. Let it flow, man.
Not that we lost and are bitter or anything, but right.
I mean, we can lose without the assistance of referees at the moment.
Yeah, we don't need any of that.
John Spencer, I download the podcast every week and have a question. Why do I have to listen to you lot drivelling on about? No, he doesn't actually say that. He says, how much more time and money should Jim be given to prove he has what it takes to get Ipswich promoted? Our current league position and level of performance is a major disappointment given the expectations we all had for this season. And for all Jim's confidence in his own ability, you have to question whether he's the right man to turn the situation around.
Yes, that's John, friend John in Australia. Yeah.
The 64,000.
Is he Australian?
He's Tesgrave, he's Australian.
That's nice.
Oh.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
When you wake up.
I think he's actually coming home for Christmas. Okay. If he is, come play football
with Christmas,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I honestly think it's only a matter of time, really. How many other clubs would be in the position that Town are in at the moment with the money that's been spent and with the type of owner? I mean, by type of owner, I mean the kind of millionaire who's come in not that long ago with a project of getting the club into the Premier League. How many other clubs would still have a manager who's kind of not performing to the level expected still in place? And I would argue probably not very many.
What worries me is if we did get rid of Magilton, are we then on a slippery slope like certain other clubs, mentioning no names, Newcastle United, who then sack their manager every 8 to 10 months and it doesn't get them anywhere? They like to think of themselves a big club, but they haven't won anything for about 30 years. And
50 years.
50 years or whatever. And I don't want to see us go down that road.
Actually, Jerry might remember them winning something.
I can remember.
we go wrong.
Was it the Fairs Cup? For the Fairs Cup.
I don't want us to like sack them. Don't want us to sack the manager like every 5 minutes like any other lot of other clubs. But then again, where do you draw the line between doing something about it and not doing something about it, if you like? And
I'd like
to think you've got to give him till the end of the season, because you never know. They are a squad of players. He might just turn it around the second half of the season. And as someone actually has pointed out on your esteemed website lately, we are renowned for having a decent second half of the season. In history has shown this, so
history does record. Yeah,
I nearly cut and pasted that message. I saw that one this afternoon. Yeah, it was
that's true.
A very sensible post for a change.
I mean, we have traditionally had. But at the moment, you don't really see things going. I mean, things are going the other way at the moment, aren't they? I think they have got worse rather than better. I totally agree with you. There is the thing of giving managers time. Managers should be given time,
certainly.
But at the end of the day, you do have to think to yourself, well, are we just wasting a period of time during which we're going to continue to sort of tread water like we are at the moment? Or would someone else coming in make a significant difference? And
I think the worry is you come January, transfer window, buy two or three players we're talking about, they're not going to perform, you're then going to end up the season all the money's been spent. Next season, if you do get somebody in, they're not going to have any money to spend. So what are they going to do?
Well, that's it. I mean, I think now is if there's going to be a sacking, I think it's going to be now, because I think that would, in terms of a new manager come in, he'd have a couple of weeks or a few weeks to look at the squad as it stands, and then look at bringing in players that he sees as kind of needed during January, moving out players that he thinks are unnecessary.
Shall I read out a relevant email for that one?
Go on, yeah, that'll make a change. Yeah.
From Colin, from Colin, if we lose our three games over the Christmas period, which in the present circumstances seems highly possible, do you think Marcus Evans may step in after all and say enough is enough for Jim?
I mean, I there's been a lot said about kind of how Jim's got the season. Well, I don't think there's ever been a direct quote from Marcus Evans or Derek Bowden to say that. But even if there has, it's quite a clever sort of line to say when you've got a manager that's kind of not doing terribly well, to stop the press coming after every defeat and saying, so then are you giving him a vote of confidence?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. If the next couple of games, if we don't win, it would astonish me if we carry on as we are for very much longer without there being a change.
Mm. Well, when Mr. Ham says that kind of thing, you start to wonder.
I don't want to kind of, Jim is obviously a player who, someone as a player, did fantastically well. But, you've got to kind of look at the situation and think, we're not up to scratch at the moment, are we?
Hmm. I'd suggest that perhaps you are indeed correct. Yes.
I still think it will... it can certainly turn it round. I mean, a few games in a row where we get decent results, then things will probably look very different. But at the moment, it's stagnating. I think that's how I would term it.
And
stagnating. Like 1970s Soviet Union, stagnating. I like that word, stagnating.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that given the amount of money that Marcus Evans has spent, I think he will look at it in terms of how near we are to getting back in the Premier League, and the answer is not particularly at the moment.
We're actually further from being in the Premier League than we were last season, which is a little bit of a depressing thought, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Never mind. I tell you what, when I download the podcast of this show, there is going to be such a rise in the sales of Prozac in the Ipswich Council I think whoever makes Prozac, get shares in them now.
There you go. Anything else, Graham, on this?
Ernest Hemingway thinks Jim's a really good manager and he can see us taking us into the First Division very soon.
Yeah.
I can remember the First Division.
Yes. Which one? Yeah, well, that would have been good if it had been the original First Division.
Yes, I can remember.
My Lord, another text come through. Hang on. Steve Bamford, with Magilton at the helm, we are a mid-table team. We won't make the playoffs. We're crying out for pace up top. Wolves have Knightley, Brom have Jerome. Allied to a strong centre-forward. No bite in midfield and we lack a leader at the back. Our full-backs, inclusive of Volts, are disappointing. Phil hit the nail on the head. Teams have sussed us out, simply being well-organised. Sorry to be negative, but simply realistic.
I thought that was quite a cheerful one.
Yeah, really good.
Given what's gone before.
If you take a businessman, he's got to make a decision. He hasn't got where he is by not making decisions. And I believe that a decision will be made quite soon. And that probably will be that Jim will go.
I tend to agree.
You'd imagine that if he was this kind of hard-nosed businessman, which you'd imagine he would be, considering he's so ludicrously rich, he's not going to be the kind of person to shy away from the difficult decisions.
Exactly.
The difficult decisions being either to give him to the end of the season or to sack him. Obviously, if he takes a difficult decision to let Jim carry on for the rest of the season, then people are just going to say, oh, he's not doing anything. But then again, if he takes the difficult decision to sack the man, then everyone's going to say, well done, Marcus, that's a great decision.
So you get to the problem. I mean, obviously, you've got all these chances, you don't know what you're doing whenever the substitution is made at the moment. But then you get to sort of February, get season tickets and that kind of thing come into
that's the other thing, and
that's another thing that will obviously, bearing in mind, of course, the financial situation that most people are in anyway, if we're kind of languishing in sort of 12th, 13th, 14th, not looking particularly likely to get in the playoffs and not looking as if we're a side progressing, then people are going to vote with their feet, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. I can't see them having 16,000 odd season tickets being renewed in the position we're in now.
Mm.
Simple as that.
it's always such a shame, really, because like in the last say 2 months or so, I mean, my personal position, I was always a bit of a fiercely loyal to Jim, and you know, I think thought he was the man for the job. But events in the last couple of months have made me seriously doubt that, and now I'm wavering, really. I mean, you know, I want to give him time, but then again, I ain't going to lose an awful lot of sleep if they did turn around and did sack him, which is a shame. Like I said, I've got a lot of respect for the man, time for the man, and but no man is bigger than the club. Isn't that not right?
Well, apart from someone once said that David Unsworth was, but only in kind of measurement around the outside. I tend to agree with you entirely, really. Everyone was kind of... I mean, I think ultimately everybody would be absolutely delighted if it all came off for Jim now. If we suddenly won 7 games in a row and we looked like we were went up to 4th and we looked like we were really, you know, playing the kind of football we got used to under George Burley, everyone would be delighted for Jim and think it was the best thing outcome, because we all desperately wanted him to be successful, I think, when he was appointed manager. But the longer this season goes on, as the Vulture says, I think it's becoming clearer or it's looking less likely that Jim is going to succeed, I think.
Because the other question is, who would replace him?
Oh, well, that's another piece of string, isn't it?
Yeah, some of the names that have been suggested on your esteemed website, Mr. Ham, frankly send shivers down my spine.
I don't know him.
Shivers down my spine.
Frank who?
Frankly Chivers.
Yeah.
But the one name is mentioned, Sam Allardyce.
I would
rather have Bruce Forsyth turn up and manage the town than Sam Allardyce. Well, at least it'd be entertaining.
Well, Allardyce has now been appointed Blackburn manager, so that's
has he really?
Happen.
Good. Yeah. Well done, Blackburn.
I don't know. I mean, are we going to look in the... I mean, we've always essentially gone for kind of two moulds of manager. We've gone for the John Lyle stroke Joe Royal type established avuncular figure. Or we've gone for the sort of George Burley type, a kind of a Bobby Robson type, who's someone kind of who's sort of about to kind of... It's looking like they'll become a good manager, and we kind of snap them up at that point.
John Duncan was another name.
Well, I didn't want to bring John Duncan up.
We'll come on to
Chesterfield in a minute. But I suppose you could look at people like Martinez and Swansea as kind of in the camp of that sort of possibility.
Are you saying he's camp?
No. In case he sues me. And not in any way, shape or form. That sort of manager or Gary Johnson or someone like that who perhaps needs to move up a club, as it were, up a level of club. Or do we go for that? I'm trying to think of who would be a Joe Royal type figure now. I mean,
I'm glad you mentioned Gary Johnson, because I'd like to see him as town manager. Not anything to do with the fact that I met him several years ago and he's a really nice bloke. And he knows his football as well, done his apprenticeship. So if somebody said to me, Gary Johnson's town manager, I'd be right up there and say, yeah, good appointment. But then again, you know, why are we having this discussion? Because Bejewell is still in the job.
Well, that's true.
So I feel a bit guilty. It's a bit like talking about what pet you're going to have to replace your cat when it dies.
It's a metaphysical speculation.
Can I just quickly interrupt you? Because we've got one text and a couple more emails.
Go.
Well, we're not going to be able to do them. Because you've got 1 minute. I'll do one which is more interesting. Kitty Blue, is it me or do we just need a bit more youth in the team? Not suggesting wholesale changes, just a few. Playing Thatcher and Naylor last Saturday seemed to introduce more than ever errors at the back. Is it time to play Pym, for me, alongside McCauley, not at left back? I think everyone agrees with that. Am I right in thinking David Wright is available Saturday, Phil? I presume he is.
Well, he was ill, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was ill, so I presume he'll be. In midfield, bring back Garvin alongside Shumi with Norris on the right. Suspect we need to continue with Ambrose, but not
Vince.
Where
do we play Walters, then?
I'm going to get to that. No, I'm not. He's not. Yes, he is. Hang on. Yeah. He's got to show more if he's going to get a contract. This is Ambrose. I'd play Trotter if he wasn't trawling. Haha. And I'd be very tempted to fall back on Quinn. Up front, it's quite difficult. I'd like to give Walters a rest. I'd be keen to try youth alongside experience, so I'd be looking at Bowditch, Rhodes and Haynes in training reserves and pick out one of them. Possibly Haynes alongside Stead. I'm a great fan of Pablo's, but not sure about him, especially away from home at the moment. So I've had Pablo plus Waters or Lisby on the bench. What say you? You've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it?
It is a sad thing that we're not bringing kids in at the moment, which is what we were doing last season by necessity, but it was working to a point.
Yeah, we were at that point bringing youngsters in. I mean, I can't... Garvin's obviously the one who's done best out of that kind of crop of 2005.
Yeah.
But why don't we play him wide left? Give him a go on wide left.
Because I just don't think he's got the running, has he?
Well, he hasn't got the running, but at least he's got a left foot and he can ping across it.
It's
against QPR.
Yeah, on the odd occasion he's been had to play out there for like 20 minutes. He does look good, doesn't he?
I think over a whole game we need someone with a bit more kind of up and down. And I think actually we've suffered since Quinn's not been in the team because of that. But that's another argument, isn't it? But. So go on, quick, thrash through something.
We can't. You're finished. You're over time. You haven't even talked about the result for Saturday yet, so you're going to have to do that in minus 10 seconds.
Who are we playing? Coventry.
Coventry way.
We always lose at Coventry in the defeat, don't we?
Lose 2-1.
Oh, I'll be positive. I'll say 1-1.
Why don't you all say we'll lose for a change? I don't think it's ever happened. We've said that, and then we'll win.
All right, I said. We'll lose.
I've got more chance 2-1. Of winning the derby on a cow.
Right. So that's Phil. Phil.
I was going to be positive and go for a draw, but I think we'll lose.
I think we'll lose 18-14. Right, so...
In the second set.
In the second set. Apologies to Tony and Lester and James Cummings. We'll try and do your emails and texts respectively next week. So thanks ever so much to Jerry. Thanks to Vulture. Thanks to Phil. Till next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.